as we lift our voice in praise, it's you that I see, it's you that I see. Sing it us, say.
Beloved, you're about to listen to a message by Pastor Prince Laye. Pastor Prince Laye is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of rescue.
Tonight, we ask that your spirit will be present tonight to bless us, even as we remember you, even as we talk about you. Let your spirit come in our midst, take over the service, bless us, open our eyes, Lord, to behold the beauty of holiness. Let us know you, Lord. It is our desire that we will know you. As Christians, we want to know who you are. We want to know who we are worshiping. We want to know who we are related with. We pray that by the end of this week, Lord, you will reveal your person to us. In Jesus' precious name we are praying. Let all the believers who are anxious for something good tonight say an amen. Hallelujah. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. Take back your seat. Choir, you want to take your seat. Amen. How many of you are expecting a miracle from the Lord? Come on, how many of you are expecting a miracle? We want to talk about something very interesting. Amen. Amen. A lot of us here, we are Christians, and we ought to know about Christianity. We ought to know about the foundation of Christianity. By the time we end this week, we will enter into the issues of the resurrection. But I'm not going to begin from there. I'm going to leave, because the resurrection is one of the issues I'll be touching on as we go on. But I'm going to begin from somewhere that it is my prayer. I want to talk about it over and over and over for every believer to have an in-depth understanding of this topic, because it is the core of Christianity. Say the core of Christianity. In other words, what I'm going to talk to you about, without this, there is nothing called Christianity. There can't be anything called Christianity if what I'm going to talk about doesn't hold water. Amen. Amen. And so take it very, very important. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to talk to you about what I call the prophetic destiny of Jesus. Put your two hands together for the Lord. Tell someone by your side, the topic for tonight is the prophetic destiny of Jesus. The prophetic destiny of Jesus. What is the destiny of Jesus? The meaning of prophecy. And it simply means to speak, because it is from the word prophetio, which means to speak or to foretell future events, to predict the outcome of the future under the inspiration of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. And destiny is an event or a course that will inevitably happen in the future. Amen. Oh, amen. Something that will inevitably, something that has been programmed to happen to you in the future, is what we term as your destiny. And it's from the word destination. That means somewhere you are going to, somewhere you are heading to. Can I have an amen? So therefore, when we talk about the prophetic destiny of Jesus, put the two words together, it refers to what was foretold long before Jesus was born concerning his birth, his life, his ministry or assignment and death. So the prophetic destiny, we are looking at what was foretold about the life and the death of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You see, it is a predetermined way by which he will be born. It is the statement about how he will be born, how he will die, how he will live, how he will work on earth long before he was conceived by the woman. Long before Jesus was conceived in the womb, some things were spoken about him. Some things were described about him. And that is what we refer to as the prophetic destiny of Jesus. Amen. Every one of us here, we have our own prophetic destinies. Amen. Tell the one by you, you have a prophetic destiny. And that is what we have been dealing with this whole month. Tell the person. And Jesus also has a prophetic destiny. Because Jeremiah 29 verse 11, God says, I know the thoughts that I have for you. They are thought of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. In other words, I have predestined you for something. Amen. Oh, amen. So Jesus was predestined. You and I have also been predestined. So what is the prophetic destiny of Jesus? What was foretold about Jesus? What was spoken about Jesus? Are you ready for that? Ask the one by you, are you ready to know about the destiny of Jesus? Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 11 verse 2. Let's read. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, verse 3, and said to him, are you the coming one? Or do we look for another? Everyone say, are you the coming one? Or do we expect another? Why this question? John the Baptist sends people, his disciples, to go and interrogate Jesus to find out, because he has been hearing certain things about Jesus and he wanted to be sure that is Jesus the real person they have been expecting? Is he really the one they have been looking forward to? You know that John the Baptist is the same person who saw Jesus and prophesied the destiny of Jesus. He was the last prophet to prophesy the destiny of Jesus. He saw Jesus and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Amen. Amen. But you see, after he prophesied the destiny of Jesus, certain things happened to him. And he expected Jesus to respond in a certain way. And Jesus did not respond in that particular way. He said that Jesus come and visit him in the prison, work some miracle for him to be released. And Jesus didn't come. And he was surprised at how the Messiah, the deliverer, would do such a thing. So he sent to go and confirm whether his prophecy concerning Jesus really was the truth. So are you the one who we are expecting, or we should expect another? What a shock. Amen. You say, it's a very, very serious thing. Say offense. Tell someone, don't be offended in God. Don't be offended in your pastor. See, a lot of you get offended with God. When you're expecting something to happen and it doesn't happen by your calculated time, you get offended with God. But listen to me, God is not bound by your time. Do you hear what I'm saying? God was God. Whether you believe God or not, he's still God. So God is not bound by your time. God works in his own time. Before he formed you, he had a time for you. Yours is just to locate the time, be there at the right time, and you will have yours. Amen. So never get offended with God. Always believe in God, no matter what happens to you. Amen. Amen. Clap your two hands if you like that one. So John the Baptist asked such an unfortunate question. But in John, but it helps us to know something. In John 1 verse 45, let's listen to what other people also said. John 1 verse 45. One of the disciples of John the Baptist also brought another disciple, and it brought this conversation. Let's look at that one. John 1 verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and in the prophet did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Amen. Amen. Philip was a soul that was won by Andrews. Amen. Amen. When Andrews and Bartholomew, Bible scholars tell us that the other person is called Bartholomew, they were disciples of John the Baptist and they saw Jesus. And John the Baptist prophesied that this is the Lamb of God. Bible said they followed Jesus. But afterwards, in their missionary journey, when they started with Jesus, they met Philip and Jesus invited Philip over. So when Philip also had an encounter with Jesus and became a Christian, he also looked for someone. That is why when you become a Christian and you don't look for someone to bring to church, your Christianity has a question mark, a bold question mark by it. Because everyone who encountered Jesus looked for someone and invited someone. Ask the one by you, that who have you brought to this ministry? Since you became born again, who have you brought to the Lord? You keep coming alone every day. You are coming to receive it. But the Lord too is expecting to receive your soul. Tell the person, the Lord is expecting the soul you are also going to bring. Always God is here expecting he also receive a soul from you. Receive a soul. And you are not bringing him so he can receive a soul. But you are always coming for him to also give you, for you to receive a soul. Amen. I'm not talking about that. But you see, Philip told Nathanael, we have found him. And that is what interests me. Philip said, we have found him of whom Moses prophesied in the law. That means the Old Testament, in the Torah. Moses prophesied about someone. Moses wrote about someone. And in the prophets, that is the books of Isaiah, the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, they prophesied concerning a certain man. And Philip said, Charlie, we have found that man. It's like you meeting someone and say, Charlie, I found a certain church. It has changed my life. You to join rescue. It's like telling the person, since I joined rescue, I'll stop drinking. I tell you, since I joined rescue, I'll stop womanizing. Look at, I've stopped. And then the person follows you. He also meets his friend and told his friend that I've met the one whom Moses wrote about, the one who was prophesied by all the prophets of old. So my issue here is that what was prophesied concerning this Jesus? What is the prophetic destiny? Jesus carries a prophetic destiny. Moses spoke about him. Aside Moses, all the prophets, even David, also prophesied about him. Almost all the prophets, to Malachi, they were still prophesying about him. About one man, say one man. Oh, say one man. And that is the man you are here to discover. Amen. You are here to meet that one man. You are here to discover that one man. Clap your two hands for Jesus. Now, let's look at another. In John chapter 4 verse 25. John chapter 4 verse 25. We are still building. The whole week we are dealing with this subject. So we take it step by step. I want every baby Christian to understand me tonight. Because this is the reason why people backsliding. They lack this basic truth. I want you to remain a Christian. So I need to teach you the truth. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
John 4 verse 25. Look at the testimony of the Samaritan woman. What did she say? The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming. See, I know the Messiah is coming. So Charlie, what did these people know that they were expecting like that? They all seem to be talking about someone who is coming. They were all expecting a certain man. He said, I know that the Messiah is coming. Into bracket, who is called the Christ? Okay? In other words, they were further throwing light. That one, John himself added it to it. Who is called the Christ? Anytime you read the Bible, you see something in parentheses or in brackets, it means the writer is the one who added to it. It's not the one who was speaking. Amen. You see? So, he said, the woman said, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ. In other words, the one who is called the Christ, he is coming. And what? And when he comes, he will tell us all things. Amen. So, according to this woman, they were expecting someone. The one John the Baptist was talking about. The one Moses prophesied, the one the prophets prophesied, the one Philip was telling Nathanael about. This woman also was telling Jesus that I know that the Christ is coming, or the Messiah is coming, who will tell us all things. So you would understand that there was something going on, and these people were all expecting a certain man, and that man is called who? The Christ. Everyone say the Christ. Come on, say the Christ. So this woman helps us to know who they were actually looking for. Because you see, Jesus was blowing her mind. Jesus started telling her deep things about her life. You are not really married. You are with men. This is the fifth person that you are with. And Jesus started releasing ditto. Ah. And this woman dropped her water pot and said, hey, I have been told by my forefathers that there is a Messiah coming who is called a Christ. He can tell us things to come. But who are you to? So you see that the woman became confused. She started thinking, is this the Christ or not? So now, who is the Christ? I want you to understand and write it down that the prophetic destiny of Jesus is that he will be the Christ. The prophetic destiny of Jesus is that he will be the Christ. That is, he will be the Lord's Christ, the anointed one. He will be the Lord's Christ. Now, what is the meaning of Christ? From this scripture, what the woman was talking about, what's the meaning of the word Christ? You see, Christ is an English translation of the Greek term Christos. Christ is from the Greek word we call Christos. Everyone say Christos. Christos. Come on, say Christos. Christos. And Christos is the Hebrew word Mashiach. And Mashiach is what we call Messiah. Say Messiah. So when you hear the word Christ, it's the same as the Hebrew saying Messiah. Amen. So Christ and Messiah, they are what? The same. Say they are the same. Come on, say they are the same. So the prophetic destiny of Jesus is that he will be the Lord's Christ, or he will be the Messiah for which the world was waiting for. Can I have an amen? Are we building? Are we building something? Are we building something? Good. Ask the one by you, do you understand to this level? Because if you don't understand to this level, you'll be confused very soon. Ask another person, do you understand to this level? Christ means, or it is from the word Christos. And now, what is the meaning of the word Christ, or the word Christos, or Messiah, or Messiah? What is the meaning of the word? It means the anointed one. Everyone say the anointed one. It means the anointed one. When we say someone is the Christ, the word Christ means the anointed. That is why Christians are the anointed. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 21 tells us that we have been anointed and established by the Lord. Amen. So Christians are the anointed. The word Christ is the word to be anointed or to be smeared. To be anointed simply means a substance to be smeared upon you. Can I have an amen? So when we say that you have been anointed with water, it means that we rubbed water on you. When we say you have been anointed with oil, means that we rubbed oil on you. When we say you have been anointed with the Holy Spirit, that means the Holy Spirit is the substance by which you were robbed. Can I have an amen? You understand what I'm saying? So Jesus Christ is the anointed, and he was not anointed with water. He was not anointed with any other substance, but was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Can I have an amen? Oh, can I have an amen? Acts chapter 10 verse 38. Let's read this passage of the Bible. Acts 10 verse 38 said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So God anointed who? God anointed who? Some people say God anointed Jesus Christ. Say tautology. Come on, say tautology. We said the word Christ means anointed. So you can't say God anointed Jesus the anointed. You see, Christ is not a name. It's a position. Say it's a position. Christ is not a name. It's like me saying I'm called Prince. It's not a name. It's a position. We have by force made it a name. It's not a name. So we have Prince something. Prince something, Prince William, Prince Charles. You know, we have, it's a position. It's like someone say that, what's your name? I'm called president. It even sounds like, what's your name? I'm called pastor. It's an office. Say it's an office. So the name Christ is an office. It refers to an office. And it is not just a name. So Jesus, his name is not Christ. Christ is his office. But you see, we attach Christ to him because the name Jesus is the Hebrew name Yeshua, and Yeshua is a common name. It's from the ancient Hebrew Joshua. What you call Joshua is the same name, Yeshua, and it means the Lord saves. Okay, so there have been so many Joshua before, or Yeshua before Jesus came. So for us to know the particular Jesus we are talking about in the 21st century, we have to qualify it with the office. So we say that Yeshua Christos. Do you understand? Or Jesus Christos, that is Jesus Christ. Clap your hands for Jesus. Ask someone, are you following? Or you are lost? So we'll find you quickly. We'll find you. We are in Easter convention. This one is not I receive it. This one is to know about your Lord and your Savior. Amen. Clap your two hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. How many of you are enjoying it so far? You are enjoying the teachings. On Sunday, the way the prophetic went, so I had to tell people that I know how to teach far.
Just that day I wasn't teaching. So if you came on Sunday, today, and the rest of the days, you will know that what I said was true. The Lord is going to teach you. Amen. Yeah, the Lord is going to teach you. I'm not those type of people, only prophesy, no teachings. By the grace of God, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Hallelujah. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. Praise the living Jesus. Okay. So God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. So therefore, Jesus is the man that was smeared by the Holy Spirit and was separated by the Holy Spirit onto something. Now, you have to understand me that in the Jewish culture, every office that a man assumes, he first has to be separated onto that office. There is no office you assume that you will not be anointed for the office. Even to the extent that when God was selecting people to become blacksmith, to work on the tabernacle, he first had to anoint them into the office of a metal worker. So like today, if you want to be a fashion designer, we have to anoint you to be a fashion. May an anointing come upon you that will make you an influential lawyer. May an anointing that will make a medical doctor come upon you. May an anointing that will make you a great man come upon you. You are receiving it at that corner. Amen.
Amen.
So for me to be a pastor, I have to be smeared. For you to be a teacher, you have to be smeared. You have to be separated unto that. So for Jesus to become the Messiah, he had to be anointed. Because in the Jewish culture, for you to be a king, you have to be anointed into that office. For you to be a prophet, you have to be anointed into that office. For you to be a priest, you have to be anointed in that office. Amen.
Amen.
Let's have biblical proofs. Number one, Elijah. I had to anoint Elisha into the office of a prophet. 1 Kings 19:16. Number two, Aaron was anointed into the office of the priest. Leviticus 8 verse 12. Pour some oil of anointing oil on Aaron's head and anoint him to consecrate him, to separate him. Number three, Jehu, Saul, and David were all anointed into the office of kings. They were all anointed. So you see that prophets were anointed into the office, priests were anointed into the office, kings were anointed into the office. 1 Samuel 10 verse 1. Samuel took a flask of oil, poured it on his head, kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? When it got to David, 1 Samuel 16, 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. Hallelujah. So everyone who assumed a significant office from the Jewish culture must first be anointed. That is why they were expecting someone who would be anointed into a particular office. Amen. But you see, aside these major offices, the office of the king, the office of the deliverer, the office of the priest, aside these major offices, the Jews were expecting, by prophecy, they were expecting someone who will come, who will be anointed into the office, that he will do certain things. And that is the man that they were expecting. That person will work in the office called the Christ. And that was the office that they were still waiting for. When you check Deuteronomy chapter 18 verse 15, the Bible says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. The Lord will raise up a prophet. The Lord, everybody say, the Lord will raise up. Now, this is Moses prophesying to them in Deuteronomy chapter 8, that the Lord will raise up a prophet who is like him. So that prophecy was there, and they were all looking up to that prophecy. Today, I also prophesy over three people over here, that the Lord will raise you up as a deliverer for your family. The louder your amen, the bigger that blessing will be. I said, the Lord will raise you up as a deliverer for the nation Ghana. You will be the wisest president that ever worked on Ghana. Amen. Clap your two hands together for Jesus. The Lord is able to raise you up. So he prophesied that the Lord will raise a certain man. Isaiah also came in Isaiah 42 verse 1. He also gave a prophecy. Look at Isaiah's prophecy. He said, behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights, I put my spirit upon him. Say, I put my spirit upon him. May the spirit of the Lord come upon you. You will be the best in your class. I said, you will be the best at your office. You will be the best in your ministry field. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 1. Look at what he said again. He said, the spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. So you see that there's a repetition. Someone, the scripture is talking about someone and what the person is going to do. Someone, what the person is going to do. And then in verse 2, he said to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, and to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now, Jesus of Nazareth is the prophesied Messiah, or the Christ, for whom the world is waiting for. Amen. You see, based on all these prophecies that I've spoken, now I'm going to lead you into the path where you will see fulfillment. Spoken and fulfilled in Jesus. Spoken and fulfilled in Jesus. So that when you meet those other people and they are convincing you that it is not the man called Jesus, you will have something to defend the Lord. Amen. You have something to defend. Amen. Do you agree with what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Now, check with me Luke chapter 9 verse 20. Luke chapter 9 verse 20. Said, he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. Verse 21. And he straightly charged them and commanded them not to tell any man. Amen. Go to verse 20. Jesus was hearing a lot of things about him. Some were saying, oh, he's the one. He's not the one. He's the one. He's not the one. So Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say I am? And then they mentioned several things. Some say you are John. Some say you are this, you are that, the Old Testament prophets and all that. And then he asked his disciples, but who do you also say I am? And as a Christian, you should also know who Jesus is. You should be able to answer the question, who do you say I am? Ask the one by you, who do you say Jesus is? For some of you, he's just one of the prophets. Some people out there say he's an angel. He was created, he's one of the angels. Some people out there say he's just one of the prophets that came to work for God. You see, people have several, even when you read a historian book from a Jewish man called Josephus, he says that Jesus was one rebel gentleman who came to the world, rebelled against the Romans. He was practicing magic to just chant things. And yeah. So you, the Jesus, was celebrating. Somebody too is saying something. You see, so if you don't know what the Bible has said, you'll be confused. I want you to know who you are serving. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the Christ for whom we have been waiting for. Clap your hands for Jesus. It's not just what you are saying. Amen. Matthew 16 verse 16. Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I love the way he put it in Luke. He said, you are the Lord's Christ. In other words, you are God's anointed. You are God's chosen. God's anointed. Amen. Because the Christ is the chosen one. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 4 verse 16, the Bible says, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Verse 17, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And remember, we read that from Isaiah 61, isn't it? From Isaiah 61, verse 1. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So they gave Jesus. Jesus went to church one day and they gave him the Bible to read. And when he opened the Bible, he found the place, Isaiah 61, verse 1. And he started reading the prophecy Isaiah gave concerning the coming person, concerning the chosen one, concerning the coming Messiah. So he started reading. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. I declare that you will be free in the name of Jesus. Every oppression from your father's house will never ever succeed over your life. The louder your amen, the better for you. Because that is what Jesus came to do. That is about Jesus. And let's look at it. I love the way this story ends. Let's read verse 20. And he closed the book and he gave it to them and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the church were fastened on him. So he finished doing the Bible reading for the day and he handed over the Bible and he went to sit somewhere. But the Bible says the way he read the thing, it's like the way the person read the things, like he was talking about himself with some audacity. So they were all looking his direction as they were watching him and watching him, that at this guy, what is he trying to mean? What is he trying to say? Is he trying to say that he's the one Isaiah was prophesying about? Look at what Jesus told them. Verse 21. Everybody watch it. And he began to say to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your eyes. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. Do you understand what Jesus just said? Oh, did you understand? He said, this day is this prophecy. This day is it beginning to be fulfilled. Because from that day, he was going to heal the sick. He was going to open the eyes of the blind. He was going to cast out devils. He was going to release prisoners. So he told them, this day is this scripture beginning to be fulfilled in your eyes. You see, so Jesus was trying to make them know that I am the one. Everybody say, I am the one.
I am the one.
Come on, say, I am the one.
I am the
one. So you see, if you are confused about who Jesus is, Jesus here says that the one Isaiah prophesied about, this day is he being fulfilled. He is the one. Clap your hands for the Lord. Ask someone, do you understand what Pastor is saying tonight? We are talking about Jesus and we are talking about his work on this earth. John chapter 4. Verse 25, the Samaritan woman again. The woman said to him, he said, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. So when the woman said that, look at verse 26. Look at what Jesus told the woman. You see, Jesus told the woman, you don't have a husband. 5 men, they are all not your husbands. You've been having an affair with them. They don't belong to you. You are just perching. After Jesus told him, he realized that, hey, Jesus is telling him some wild things, and it's only the Messiah who should be able to tell him those things. Immediately, when she asked Jesus, I know that the Messiah is coming, who should have the audacity or the capability to tell me this secret, to reveal, to prophesy to me? But who are you? Look at what Jesus said. Verse 26. Everybody, we are reading. One, go. Everybody, we are reading. One, two, go. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee, I am. Oh, come on, I am.
Jesus.
Come on, I am.
Jesus.
So over there, the woman says that, no, this prophecy you've given me, it is only the Messiah who is able to give me this prophecy, who should be able to reveal this thing. And we know he's coming. And immediately, Jesus didn't let her land. And Jesus said, the one you are speaking to, I am he. So over there, Jesus reveals the secret that he is the Messiah. Clap your hands for Jesus. So that is the destiny of Jesus, and we are still discovering. And I'm going to show you from several scriptures so that you cannot be confused. Amen. I'm going to show you from several scriptures. So the deliverer will come out of Zion. See, one thing that was prophesied about this coming person is that when he comes, he will come out of Zion. Everybody say Zion.
Zion.
Oh, say Zion.
Zion.
And you see, the Rastafarians have deceived you. They told you that Zion is in Ethiopia. Zion is not in Ethiopia. Say, it's not in Ethiopia. Hail Selassie deceived you. It's not in Ethiopia. Zion, when the Bible uses the word Zion, the Bible uses a device we call symbolism. And it represents heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
So God named certain places on earth Zion to represent heaven. Because heaven is the true Zion. Amen.
Amen.
One of the things that is used to represent Zion or heaven is even the church. The Bible says that we've come unto Zion, unto Mount Zion. Amen. And there is a place, there is a mountain also in Israel that is called Mount Zion. But Zion itself is from heaven. Can I have an amen? Oh, can I have an amen? Revelation chapter 11 verse 26. He said, and so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So they are expecting a deliverer who will only come from Zion. And let us see, Hebrews 12 verse 22. He said, well, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. So when you go to Zion, you will see angels, because it's a city in heaven. Can I have an amen? Amen. Zion is a city in heaven, and you will see angels over there. And so the deliverer the children of Israel were waiting for must not come from Ethiopia, must not come from America, must not come from any part of the world. He must come straight from heaven. And now, answer me. Among all the people who started religions, religious groups, the people who started different religious groups, which of them was able to say he came from heaven? All of them, aside Jesus, who was able to claim that he's coming from heaven. They were all from the earth. We know where they are coming from. We know who their father is. We know where they are coming from. It is only Jesus that could claim that he's coming straight from heaven. True or not true? Or did Muhammad say he's coming from heaven? Nobody. Because the deliverer must come from heaven. Must come from Zion. Let's look at John chapter 6 verse 38. Jesus made a claim, a dangerous claim over there. He says, for I have come down from... Come on, show me. John 6, 38. He said, for I came down from... I came down from... And heaven is what? Zion. Heaven is what? Zion. He said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will. No other religious leader came down from heaven. Only Jesus. Only your Jesus. Clap your hands for the Lord. John 6, verse 58. John 6, 58. He said, this is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and were dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Talking about himself. Now, what are the biblical evidence that shows, aside just the icing I've given you, what are the biblical evidence at the end of the day that Jesus Christ is really the Messiah? I've just touched on some few things, but I want to begin a journey. We'll continue tomorrow. Amen. The biblical evidence that shows that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Number one, Jesus fulfills all the messianic rules. I'm going to end here because we are going to be praying for a short while before we leave. Jesus fulfills all the messianic rules. I'm going to show you things that show that Jesus, your Jesus, is the Messiah, and you are not in the wrong religion. If Christianity is even a religion, because it is not. But in case you want to categorize it as a religion, Jesus Christ is the only one who has the right to start any like that, because he's the only one from heaven. He fulfills the messianic roles. That is the role that Christ must fulfill. Now, listen to me carefully. The Jewish people, when they were given prophecies about the Messiah, they described some rules the Messiah must play. And anybody who calls himself the Messiah must be able to fulfill those rules, else he's not the Messiah. Are you listening to me? What I'm saying is that when they were given the prophecies from the Old Testament, they mentioned some things the Messiah should do. And anybody who comes to the earth to claim he can save you and he's the Messiah, he should be able to do those things, else he's a liar. So we are going to see one by one. Are you interested in that? Do you want to know the truth at all? Are you sure? Your response looks like you are not interested in it. We want to see. Let's just look at one out of it. One of the things, the offices of the Messiah. The Messiah holds three offices. One, prophet. Two, priest. Three, king. And the last one, deliverer. So four offices. The one who is called the Messiah must occupy four offices. The four offices, or the four administrative offices he's supposed to rule in are supposed to be the priest, the prophet, the king, and the deliverer. Amen. That means he's supposed to be a priest. At the same time, he's supposed to be a prophet. At the same time, he's supposed to be a deliverer. And at the same time, he's supposed to be a king. If he's not, or if he misses one of these four, then it stands to reason that he's not the Messiah. Amen. So Jesus as the prophet, let us see whether Jesus was a prophet. As a prophet, he is to preach the word of God and to foretell future events and to reveal secret work. Say yes to Christo or you obey odi for jumana. Say now or you deep for not just also to me the epic mukanamias and called prophecy means to speak. So he's supposed to be able to preach. That's what all the Old Testament prophets they were preaching. So he's supposed to be able to preach, he's supposed to be able to reveal hidden secrets, especially things referring to the future and things that are hidden. So let us see whether Jesus was able to do all this and even work miracles. He's supposed to be able to do that. As a true prophet must be able to work miracles. Amen. Matthew 26 verse 68 say, prophesy to us Christ. This is what the Pharisees said to him. They said, okay, you say you are the Christ, then prophesy to us. Everybody say prophesy to us. That means that the Christ must be able to prophesy. God, they are the custodian of the Old Testament. They know who the Christ is supposed to be. And you are claiming, you this young 33 years old boy, you are claiming that you are the Christ. If you are the Christ, prophesy. Say prophesy. So that means that if we are saying that Jesus Christ or Jesus is the Christ, then we should be able to prove that Jesus was also a prophet. True or not true? Otherwise, he doesn't qualify as the Christ. Because as the Christ, he must function as a prophet also. He must function. So they said, prophesy. Who is he that struck you? They closed his eyes. And they stood behind him, a lot of people. And they hit him. And they opened his eyes. They said, show us who hit you. Because if you are the prophet, you should be able to reveal secrets. Are you getting my argument? If you are the prophet, you should be able to tell us who hit you from the back. Unless you are not a prophet. Tell me that Jesus must have the ability to reveal secrets. It was captured in Deuteronomy 18:15 by Moses. That the Lord will raise a prophet like me. So the Messiah is supposed to be what? A prophet. Say a prophet. Now, Acts chapter 3 verse 20. Let's look at what the apostle said. He said, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. Verse 22. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, or from your brethren, him you shall hear in all things whatever he says to you. So in Deuteronomy, Moses prophesied that a prophet is coming. In Acts chapter 3, Peter explains that prophet is who? Is Jesus. This is what Moses said, that a prophet is coming. So Peter called Jesus a prophet. And in Luke chapter 24 verse 19, he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. So Jesus was described by people after he died. He was described as what? A great prophet. That means that when Jesus came on earth, he fulfilled the office of the prophet. Can I have an amen? Amen. John 4 verse 18, for you have had five husbands. How can you meet a stranger and tell her the secret of her life? It is unless you are a prophet. Unless you can operate in that office. So Jesus shocked the Samaritan woman with a gift of prophecy. Can I have an amen? Amen. So the Samaritan woman went in verse 29 and went to tell his town people, come and see a man who told me all things that I've ever did or that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Come and see a man who has prophesied to me. Is this not the Christ? Because the Christ is supposed to be a prophet. So if this man can prophesy to me, then he's the Christ. Can I have an amen? Amen. Do you understand where I'm driving to? Do you understand where I'm driving to? Clap your two hands for Jesus. In John chapter 6, verse 14, when Jesus worked a miracle, look at what some people said. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, they said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. When they saw the things Jesus did, the vicious things Jesus did, they said, truly, this is the prophet who is coming. Because the Christ is supposed to be the prophet. And they saw him in the man called Jesus. So your Jesus is a prophet. And whatever your Jesus has said about you must also come to pass. Yeah. I said, whatever he has said about you must also come to pass. Yeah. They said, no, I will be with you always. That means that you will never be lonely after today. Yeah. I said, you will never be lonely after today. Yeah. I pray that every prophecy of scripture concerning your life today will find manifestation after tonight. Yeah. Shout your loudest amen together with me. Yeah. Lift up your two.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Pastor Prince Laye. If you have been blessed by this message but have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If you have said this prayer, know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko. For more information, please call 054-324-8982 or 024-1372-895. God richly bless you.